Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am grateful that you're listening to this broadcast on June the 13th, 2021. We're getting through half of the year already, and it's been interesting. Watch us deal with our own recovery. Anyway, we're going to talk about what help means. Sometimes I get some really interesting questions regarding the idea of help. And what does that mean? What do people want help with? What are we talking about when we say to someone, I need your help? Well, there are many different avenues of help in this lifetime that we could go down. Many. And most people go down the idea of helping or assisting somebody who is in need. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing to be able to do. I find helping people in a physical way really, really interesting, how they take it and how many don't or can't even be grateful. You know, I'm going to say this right off the bat. I have a lot of people in my life, I don't know about you, who have a real hard time with please and thank you. They, after you've helped them or you've given them something that was important to them or that they needed, oftentimes in my work, whatever that is unappreciated because they don't see how it relieves them of their problem. But nevertheless, people just don't have a automatic thank you. They can't even say those words. It's interesting, of late I have noticed the word love, thank you, and please are very difficult words to get out of people. Millennials, even people my age who are ancient, they just don't have that mental acumen for being even couth or polite. So anyway, we're going to be looking at the whole idea of what it means for help, what it means to accept help, and maybe what real help would be all about. I mean, we're talking real help, not the kind that just relieves. So the first question comes from Carol, and she lives, are you ready for this? Drum roll. She lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. Viva Las Vegas. She asks, what help, and she puts this in kind of quotes, what help do people need most in this life? What is the thing I need most in this life? Please help. And then she goes into her circumstances and her conditions and the difficulties she's having. So what help do people really need? Boy, I'll tell you something. It gets very complex. We live, and I'm going to keep this as simple as I can because there's more to what I'm saying than what my words can utter. We live in a dual world. We live in the world of the within, and then we live in the world of the physical. And we don't correlate the inner world with the physical world very well. We just don't do that very well. We don't see it that way. We see our lives and our livingness in the world of the physical. So if we can look at a little bit of the inner part for the sake of trying to get the help we need, we will consider that, like changing a person's attitude or changing their belief system, something like that. That's what most people would go for. I personally would not. So it depends on the help you want. What help do you want? There's the help that relieves a person physically of maybe some difficulty or hardship that they may be going through. And then there's the source of what really needs to be helped. And that's the part within us that some people would say would be the mental and emotional aspects of us. And I would say that's certainly a part of it. But when you get to the root, the real root of the problem, we're talking ancient karma. We're talking about living our life from the ancientness of what brought us here to this planet. I mean, the minute you get here, there's nothing but problems. If you haven't noticed that, there is absolutely nothing but problems. Difficulties all the way. Always there will be challenges in this world. As Jesus talked about, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. There's always going to be something cooking here that ain't so good. So what do we do? Do we fix the physical first and relieve ourselves? And do we then go to the internal part? What do we do? How do we deal with needing help and problems? Well, the first thing I would like to say is this, and it's kind of important. Everything is situational, and you can't make rules up that are generalities for solving problems and getting help. You can't say, now this will work all the time. This is the mock-up of how we deal with things in the biological, the physical, and this is how we do it. It really doesn't work that way. Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Sometimes the situation requires quick work on the outside, and sometimes it really needs the inner work first and then the outside help. It just depends on the situation. There are no rules here. It's karma we're dealing with, it's life we're dealing with, and it's our living that we're dealing with. All of that mixed together into one, and most people do not have the perception to see the bigger picture of what's really going on in the course of their lifetime. They just don't get it. So, with all that being said, Carol, I don't know what help you need or what you're referring to as help, but allow me to serve you in this way. The best defense in a person's life, I have been told, is a great offense. And I don't believe we're at war. So I don't go along with all of that. The way I go along with it is almost like the airlines. When you're there and they're saying, if we lose pressure in the cabin, you put your mask will come down, you put it on, and then you help the person next to you. You've got to take care of the problem by making sure you are not the problem. So I have to ask myself this question, Carol. What is it about me that made all this possible? That's the first thing I would ask. What is it about me that made this happen? Now, most people right there have no clue, don't want a clue, don't think there's a clue, don't think they need to answer that question, don't need to deal with it. But I'm telling you, we need to deal with it. What is it? What is it about me that brought this on? Now, what you will see if you are quiet, and silence is the answer to everything. Believe me, it truly is. It opens up all sorts of doors. If you can sit very quiet, Carol, wanting nothing with all of your heart, just sitting there, watching, observing, eventually the answer will come to you. Some insight will come to you. Some kindness will come to you. You will start to understand the nature of yourself in the accord of love. It's all about love. So the first thing that has to be cleared up within me is see how I love and what has kept me from my journey, as the Buddha said. How do I love? Now, this may seem irrelevant to the problem in entirety, but it really isn't. So if I look at the way I love and what I love and what I want that love to serve in me, which is usually in the pedestrian mentality, wanting a higher esteem, to change my self-esteem, that kind of thing, I am going to be miserable. I will miss. But if I am willing to see what I love and what the fear of not having that love in my life constitutes, then I can look deep inside and realize, oh, I'm hooked on the idea whatever that may be, that I should have this, this, and this, and not that, that, or that. You have parsoned out your life. You are not looking at the bigger picture of the whole thing. The problem that you think you may have may be the, shall we say, the tail that's wagging the dog. You have to look at it from the point of view, not of mind, but of quietude. To sit quietly, it all comes to you. It will all be revealed to you. And once you get the revelation of it, you can't dissect it. You have to take it into its totality and breathe it in, whatever that thing is, and let it have its way with you. Let me give you an example, Matt. This might help. I've had students who have gained a lot of weight. I mean, a ton of weight. We all gain weight as we grow older. It can't be helped. It just is what it is. But when a person has gained a ton of weight and you ask them why they're eating, it's about controlling their emotions. They're eating for their life. And they're trying to eat away their problem that's eating away at them within themselves. So they have to look at their life a little differently and make a change. As we grow older, our bodies change and they require more of us and different of us. We simply do not get involved in that. We don't understand that they're heading towards death. In fact, they're creating that death and they're on a kamikaze flight to that and they can't stop it and blah, blah, blah. So what happens with them is they have different needs than they did when we were younger, and we have to learn how to discipline ourselves. And that's the hard part. Oh, I'm eating for my life. I'm eating to control my life. I'm eating make all this go away, thinking that if my body or my palate is pleasured, then I will be a better person, or I'm in control, or I can change things, or it's not as bad as I thought it was, that kind of thing. So to be honest with you, the help that people need most is not the help they're looking for. And sometimes you have to clean up the outside of the cup, but you have to also look in the inside, because no matter how you clean it up mentally or emotionally, if it's not clear within yourself as to what you're doing, the inside of the cup will, as Jesus said, become full of wickedness, ravenous. Clean the inside of the cup first, not the outside. The outside will take care of itself. Sometimes you're going to have to put a Band-Aid on some things, but that doesn't mean you've cured yourself off the wild turkey here. You just have to see it for what it is. Forget about what's on the outside. See how you love on the inside. Let that be what you're really working on inside yourself. I hope that helps you, Carol. There's so many. If you were sitting here, I might even take a different approach with you. But that's the one I can do publicly and with radio. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Randy in Colorado. How do I allow help that I don't think I really need or think will help? Randy, you just hit a chord with me on that. Wow. Because that's exactly what happens to me in my work. People will come to me as a last resort. Last resort. They will have done everything they possibly can in the outer world to fix something that they think is broken. And then nothing changes. And they come to me kind of with their tail between their legs. And they'll say, do you think you can help? And by the time I get to them, or they get to me, I should say, it's catastrophic. The whole thing is do the difficult before it becomes impossible, as Lhotse said in the Tao. But they have made it impossible, so the difficult is impossible. It just depends on what your situation is, but here's the deal. What you think will help you won't help you. It may relieve you for a little while, but it won't help you, because the real help of what everybody needs is the help that is love. Everything is answered in love. Everything. So when I see how I love, the way I love, and the way I live in my life so loveless, there is the answer. Now, I know you think, well, that is, I love, I got emotions, you know, I love my wife, my kids, my dog. You miss. That's not the love we're talking about. It's that love that unites us with life. Life is love. It is nothing but pure, unadulterated love. And to enter into it means that I have to drop the premise of what I think is love for the sake of authentic love. And that's not something that most people are willing to do. They're just not willing to do that. If you are going to seek great love in your life, really substantial love, you're going to have to awaken. You're going to have to move to the awakening. So how do I allow help that I don't think will help? You can't. You won't put your heart into it. You won't put your totality into it. So what is necessary? Catastrophic living. That's what will be necessary. You will need to let this thing, whatever it is, accelerate in your life to a point where it becomes life and death catastrophic. And even then, most people don't get it because they're so numbed out on, well, drugs and alcohol and TV genres, movie genres. They have all sorts of odd beliefs where they gain some kind of ideal as to how they should live. The life we all really are geared to live with is very difficult, because you have the physical life and then you have the spiritual life. And you think the spiritual life is somewhere in the future, maybe, or whatever. It's a kind of whatever thing. And the physical is the only thing that matters, and that's where we go wrong. We don't make it the priority, that place inside of us, finding that still point within us where goodness and mercy lie, and living in that goodness and mercy, and taking no thought, as Jesus even said, for our life, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear. Seek ye first, he said, the kingdom of heaven. Boy, I'm quoting Jesus a lot today, so forgive me, but it is true what he is saying. It is absolutely, authentically true. We don't seek what will heal us, what will help us, because we're so busy thinking we know what will heal us and help us, then only become more of a problem, more of a part of a problem. And this goes on and on and on within us to nauseam. We don't really mature or grow. We just live in the confines of ideals and beliefs that we think are relevant to our life that really are not relevant at all. So what would you have to do? You'd have to give up everything you think. The answer to your question's in your question. You don't think this will help. You don't think this will be meaningful. You don't think this will be sustaining. Well, there's nothing I can do to help. You have to see it for yourself. The greatest teacher in the world is futility. And it's a direct experience that everyone has to face one way or another in coping with their life. And there are some people who just cope with their life, and there are others who let love live them, let life live them, and they just follow the ebb and the flow of this beautiful experience called life. It is there. It is not something that you are relevant to in your desires. Whenever I want something, it takes me out of life. Whenever I want something to happen, or you know how people will say, hey, you got to get all passionate. No, you don't. No, you don't. You have to get quiet. You have to move directly. You have to move succinctly with life. You have to move with a sense of purpose that is beyond the one that human beings like, which is to ease the pain and comfort their distress that they have created. So there's the problem. Randy, there is the answer to your question is in your question. You'll have to not think. You'll have to give up what you think. Thinking is a barrier, not a bridge. So I leave you with the Henny Youngman joke that I work with my students. Henny Youngman was an old 40s, 50s comedian, and his joke goes like this. He went to the doctor and says, "Doc, it hurts when I do that." And the doctor says, "Don't do that." And that's exactly what it's about. Don't do that. Don't think that. Don't go there with that. Don't be impulsed by your emotionality. Just don't do that. Thank you, Randy, for your question. Hope I could help, and please forgive me. Namaste. Last question comes from Antonio. He does not tell me where he lives, but his question is really succinct and will end our broadcast today. He asks, what is real help? Wow. There is only one real help in this lifetime. And Antonio, you ask the greatest question. You really do. It's amazing. It is love. The only thing that matters in this lifetime is love. But it's not the love of emotionality or passion. It's not that kind. It's not human love. It is the love that is the bigger picture. It is the love that is the ocean of existence while we swim around as, let's say, little fish running around saying, oh, we've got to find water or we're going to die. It's all around us and it's all within us, but we don't realize it because we are so busy wanting what we want that we think that we should have, that we make a life or death situation. We're lonely, we're afraid, we've done crazy things to our livingness. We haven't been very good custodians of our own life. So when you really come to understand that, and that becomes the basis of your life, then you have something really to think about. What is the meaning of my existence? What is the meaning of my life? What am I doing? It is love that is the greatest help. It is the only thing that matters in a lifetime. The rest, the wanting, the desiring, the cookies, the chocolate, the cream, all that other stuff that our human palate wants, doesn't matter. That will be added unto us. But what really does matter is, do I have the capacity for love, real love? And yes, you have the capacity. Everyone does. But the question is, do we have the interest? And most of us don't. Most of us are not interested in love at all. We are interested in being loved or thinking that we're in love, but we're not interested in the depth of love. And that is only found through silence. The quieter you are, the more distinct love will be for you. And the more you will realize the ebb and the flow of the goodness that you are and that goodness that lives within you. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. That's the answer. I hope that helps you, sweet man. I do. Thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there's the week. Grateful to be with you. Hope it helped. If you ever have a question, just email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful weekend. And of course, you know what I'm going to say. Please forgive me. Namaste.